It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
It is the 1st of June. Time to welcome back Major Billy Downer to Sports Talk from the Department of Natural Resources. Another edition of SC Wild here on Sports Talk, Sports Talk Media Network. Summer is here. Time to get Absolutely. Outdoors and enjoy everything that we have to offer, Major.
Yes, it is. And we just made it on the show just in time.
Absolutely.
Folks, Phil got caught napping for a minute, asking questions, and the next thing you know, the show begins.
The show must go on. It waits That's for no right. one. Yes,
it
sir.
It waits for no one.
Yeah.
That's correct.
How are things with you?
Things were good. We had a great Memorial Day weekend as far as fun on the Strip in Myrtle Beach. It was great. Working with a lot of our officers there for Bike Week, it was eventful in some days, but we all made it through safely by home, and we are focused on our fishing game activities again, particularly fishing this time of year. And I know we're going to be talking about fishing some. You want to talk about some fishing around the state right now, but Memorial Day weekend, not sure that we had any fatalities boating, which is always good news.
Yep.
We're just starting that 100 days of the 100 deadliest days of summer, and we hope to go through the 100 deadly days with no fatalities. So that's always our goal. We will continue to strive toward that and always encourage folks to be safe when they're out on the water, whether they're fishing or pleasure riding.
Absolutely. Let me give the phone number for anybody that wants to check in with you here with a comment or a question, because you're going to be talking about fishing. With the summer months upon us, everybody's going to want to get outdoors and drop a line or get out on the beach or into the ocean and pull in some big ones. Our phone number, 888-898-2525, 888-898-2525. Put you right in touch with the Major if you have any questions about where to go or anything related to licenses, which is always an interesting topic when it comes to fishing licenses. And again, you can drop us a text message as well. That number is 803-900-4847. So I'll begin before we get into your guest and everything, like I was going to ask you right as we hit the air. So like I'm a simple Joe and I'm walking down a farm road somewhere and I want to drop a line into a pond to catch some bass or something. Am I breaking the law if I don't have a license?
So that's a great question and one that people sometimes still don't understand. If you're in a private pond, like a farm pond, you're not required to have a fishing license, nor do limits apply in a private pond. So that's very a good question. Nor on a private pond do PFD requirements, are they required on a private pond, which unfortunately leads to some deaths on ponds where people flip a boat, a John boat, and they drown without a life jacket. But they're not required to have a life jacket on private ponds. Neither are you required to have a fishing license. Again, limits don't apply. So what determines if a pond is private? There's another great question. Mm-hmm. So private pond is one that someone owns all the land around it or part of the land around it. It's all privately owned. Your lakes or public waterways or navigable streams. You hear that word navigable all the time. People drop a line off a bridge on a road that crosses a stream. There are some times where roads cross private ponds, and that is still unable. You cannot fish there. It's still a private pond, even though the public roadway may go over it. So that causes some confusion sometimes. But a public waterway or a navigable stream is one that someone can fish on. Now, sometimes you will see signs on the road that say, no fishing from the bridge. Now, do all officers enforce that? Yes, they can. And the reason for the no fishing from bridge sign is typically because the roadway is not wide enough and it is dangerous for somebody to stand on the bridge and fish. Mm-hmm. Does that keep somebody from fishing? Absolutely not. Especially if there's a fish there to be caught, somebody's going to try to catch it. Those are things to look out for. Now, y'all were asking questions about fishing licenses, and I understand one of our our producers here had a friend coming from out of state. So let's talk about fishing license fees. Mm-hmm. Not sure we've ever even talked about that on the show, but an annual fishing license in South Carolina is $10. I mean, it doesn't get any cheaper than that. It's less than a dollar a month for $10. And that allows you to fish anywhere in the state. Now, when I started, we used to have what was called a cane pole license. And they got it. Well, they did away with those. But when I started way back when, we even had cane pole licenses. And most of the time, we didn't enforce somebody if they were fishing with a cane pole. But if they had a rod and reel, we would enforce the fishing license. Now it's gone, and now it's just rod and reel. Your fishing license is $10 for in-state. It's very cheap. So if you're a resident, it's $10. There's a three-year license, it's $30. Again, that's just $10 a year. Then the 14-day license, if you don't want to pay the $10 and you want to fish for 2 weeks, it's $5. If you're a non-resident, an annual fishing license is $35. And that's very cheap. I know some states where the annual fishing license for residents is twice that or more. Our three-year license is $105, which is 3 times 35. And there's a 14-day license for non-residents. These are the three non-resident licenses, is $11. So if your friend's coming, he can buy a 14-day license for $11. That's what he can fish with. And he can go to any public lake, waterway, and fish with that license. Now, if you're fishing in salt water, so what's considered salt water? Well, salt water, it used to be they didn't require that on the surf when it first started. But if you're fishing in salt water anywhere, that's from basically 17 East, you or Highway 17 East, you're in salt water. You're required to have a salt water fishing license, even if you're on a pier, unless you're fishing on a pier that has pier permits. So that's something to keep in mind. But the saltwater fishing license is the rule there. So that's additional for residents, an additional $15 for a saltwater fishing license. Your freshwater fishing license, $10, does not cover saltwater. So those are things to keep in mind. Now, you can get a freshwater fishing license in combination with your hunting license for $25 a year for annual, mm-hmm. or your sportsman's license, which gives you the WMA permit, state hunting license, big game permit, and fishing license for $50. So those are your basically options for fishing in South Carolina. So saltwater, freshwater fishing, what are you looking to fish for? If you're fishing for brim, doesn't matter what you're fishing, brim, catfish, bass, doesn't matter, crappie. It doesn't matter. It's $10 for the year.
It's a good deal.
That answers the basic question. Again, yeah. Private ponds, if it's a land owned by a person, not public water, you don't have to have a license to fish there.
We have your guests standing by.
Well, let's get them on. We're going to invite on a good friend of mine, Lieutenant Daniel Baker. Daniel, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Daniel, I was asking you earlier. Folks always want to know the update on Lake Murray. And even though you are not living on Lake Murray, I know you are a frequent flyer on Lake Murray. Mm-hmm. And since it's June 4th now, we're in what my great friend Lynn Woodkiers, who I talked to today, bless his heart, said this is football season again. And it is football season on Lake Murray because the first five fish are what you keep. Tell me about what you know, Daniel, what you've been hearing, Daniel, on Lake Murray.
So Lake Murray right now is the five fish rule. It's you keep the first five that you catch. There's no size limit. They did away with the size limit in June, July, August, and through September. And to reduce the fish kill. Fishing's been good. The early bites on in midday. So, I mean, I think pretty much any time you can find them. 45 foot of water, it seems to be the magical number early. Goes out to 60 foot. You know, and I tell a lot of people, they'll say, well, if there's only two of us in the boat on Lake Murray and we can only keep 10, you know, what do you recommend? And I always tell everybody, if you mark a school of fish and the first one you catch is what I refer to as a little peanut, you know, anything around a pound or what you would consider small.
That's not what you called it earlier.
No, we'll stick with peanut. We'll be ready.
I got him off his game, Phil. He's already stumbling.
You threw him a curve. Yeah. You threw him a curve.
I did. Yeah. So, Dave, before you finish, let me interrupt you on one thing. The reason why we do the five fish limit is you said fish kill. And for some people may not understand what that means. What I understand from that, and Daniel, I know you're way bigger fisherman than I am as far as your knowledge, but because fish are so deep sometimes when they pull them up from the cooler water, whatever, that it basically, if you kill them up, that swim bladder blows and those fish essentially die if you put them back in the water. So people were catching and releasing. The releasing didn't work. The fish were dead when they released them.
That's right. And plus, a lot of these summertime fish will swallow the hook, different things like that, and the warmer water stresses them out. And so they're already starting to go into a stage of, you know, stress. You know, they swallow the hook, different things like that. They bunch up a lot more. It seems like, you know, you would catch four or five less than 21 inches before you finally catch a keeper. And so everybody got together and found that worked, and it seems to be working. Never heard a complaint whatsoever. I mean, it's still the cut bait bite is really turned on. I mean, it's turned on well for people that want to, you know, anchor out and fish humps or points. The downrod bite's really good. It's my preferred method this time of year. And you can get in. If you find a school of fish, you can get in and get on the lake and get off before it gets hot home in a really decent hour.
So I found, like, later in the summer even, they're still catching stripers. Is that right?
Yes. They'll catch them all right on through the summer.
Right.
And those fish may go out a little bit deeper.
Right.
Yeah, they'll once the water temperature right now is around 72, 73 degrees, you know, once it gets up, you know, above 76 or so, they'll start getting a little deeper, especially once the sun gets up. But right now, I think the key bite somewhere around 45 foot, 60 foot of water. As the sun rises, you know, if you're on a school of fish and you find them late morning and all of a sudden they leave, you may want to find out where's the nearest flat or hump around 60 foot to where you were, and you may, relocate them.
All right. So the state record striped bass was caught in 2009. It's 82 pounds. Mm. What is the typical a good fish on Lake Murray? I know we talked about the peanuts being you're basically what they're probably 18, 19, 20 inches, probably what?
Yeah,
2-3 pounds?
Peanut would be anything around 12, you know, 10, 12, 14 inches. I call those, you know, those are your schoolies or your smaller fish.
Yeah, don't call them what you call them. That's right. Good point.
Yeah, no. And but your average, I would say your average striper on Lake Murray is going to be 4 to 6 pounds, which is on a scale, it's relatively, that's a really nice fish. It's going to put up a really good fight. It's good for adults and kids. Kids will love it. But you know, you're also your bigger fish, you're going to have to target them. And this time of year, if you're out, you know, taking your kids or your buddies fishing, the striper, you know, if you figure two people in the boat and you keep 10 and your average fish is around 5 pounds, you've got a cooler full of impressive fish. You know, you throw in your bonus 6, 7, 8 pounder or two in there, and it's photo worthy. But your bigger stripers, a lot of times they'll go deep early on, you know, or a little bit earlier.
And I got to correct something too.
Yep.
I got to correct something. I was incorrect, Phil. You can write this down.
Oh no.
The state record for striped bass is 63 pounds. The world record is 82 pounds. The state record was 63 pounds, 4 ounces on Lake Russell. And that was,
I would imagine.
Yep, was in 2009. So I was a little off. I apologize for interrupting, Daniel. Go ahead.
No, you're good. But, you know, a lot of people, the appeal about Lake Murray is that you can, once June hits, you can keep five fish. You can, you know, if you get up shallow and 20 foot of water, I'm not saying right now that there aren't good fish in 20 foot of water. But typically, your better fish are going to stage up a little bit deeper. And but, you know, if you've got a group of four, you know, you take, like, for instance, me and my wife and three kids, if we go to Lake Murray, you know, there's five people in a boat. You know, if we were to keep 25, which we normally would quit well before that, you would have more than enough, like, of a cooler full. And I always tell people that that's the cool part about that lake, is you can always find them. You know, if they're not on humps, they could be on flats. If they're not on the flats, checkpoints, you know, and, you know, when in doubt, get in the big water and drift. And you'll eventually find them. It's a really, really productive lake, especially this time of year.
Well, I know that everybody has their own opinions about what fish taste the best. Linwood loves rockfish, but he said that he loves the smaller ones because they taste better. So he doesn't mind going out and catching five and getting out, because he said those five usually taste better than a really big one, because they've got that really dark red line, and that just makes the meat taste different to him.
Yeah. So I believe that. You know, a lot of people, you know, in the upstate, we catch a lot of the hybrids. And the football, we refer to a football hybrid as anything between 3 and 5 pounds. And they fight really well. That's probably your best eating weight, somewhere between 3 and 5 pounds. 2 pounders, you know, are good too. But we call them footballs. If you get a cooler of footballs, you've done really well. And
well, let me ask you this, because I know Phil's already thinking it before he asks it. What's your favorite way to cook striper?
Oh yeah.
But personally, I like to clean mine. I like to make sure.
Of course.
I like that. Well, when I say clean them, I like them. I like the red meat out. I like, right. And I make sure the muscle on top of it, on the top and bottom where the fins are, that muscle is removed. And I'll soak mine in salt water and dump ice into it and let it soak for, you know, 4 to 6 hours before I rinse it off and freeze it. But two ways I like mine. I like to blacken them and make, like, fish po' boy sandwiches, and I like to fry them. Make fish tacos.
Let me ask you a quick question myself.
Yep.
Our resident sports talk fishing expert, Tiger Bryan, from up in Lancaster, he fancies himself as a championship-level fisherman, bass fisherman. Mm-hmm. And so he talks about using worms for his favorite fishing bait. What's your favorite fishing bait when you're fishing for, let's say, bass? What bait do you prefer, and why?
Personally, I like fishing with a Carolina rig for bass. Striper, I'm a downrod guy. When the herring spawn is on the lakes, I like throwing a lead head fluke and any kind of a smaller swim bait. Those would be my, if I had to have a tackle box with three lures in it, that would be them.
Do you make your own lures, or do you purchase them?
No, I purchase.
You purchase. Okay.
Yep.
Major, you make your own lures?
Oh, no, sir. No, no. And if there was going to be somebody that was going to make his own lure, you're probably talking to him right now.
Yeah.
Not me, but Daniel. He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He's like the fish whisperer. He's the one that people call when they want to take someone to fish. Yep, call Daniel. He'll take him.
Yep.
Daniel, before we get off tonight, and thank you for joining us, talk about we were talking about crappie for a minute. I know the crappie bite is probably slowing down now. You were saying crappie are moving off the off your brush piles now.
Yeah, it's postponed. They you know, last month you could still catch them, and there's folks still catching a few trolling, but mostly right now they've moved postponed out a little deeper on structure, brush piles, you know, dock ends, things like that. The water temperature with all the rain that we've had has kept it a little bit cooler, so, you know, they're not as deep as they normally would be if you had, like, a really, you know, hot June or May, and but the brush piles seem to be where a lot of folks are catching them, that and treetops, you know, stump piles, things like that.
Okay. How about flatfish on Lake Murray? I'm surprised constantly by people who catch really nice shellcracker on Lake Murray.
Yeah. I mean, all your lakes now, the shellcracker, if you can find a flat adjacent to where the bedding area is, you know, 8 to 10 foot of water, a lot of people will anchor out just like they would for catfish or whatnot, throw red worms on the bottom, and they're catching some really impressive shellcracker.
So you
I think
you
about,
and I've talked about
every lake.
You've talked about this too. You know, you talk about hybrids, and when people hear hybrids, some people don't understand a hybrid striper is a cross between a striped bass and a white bass.
That's right.
You and I have talked about this a lot. I'm still wanting to find that that white bass hole in your area, but it's so rare for folks to see white bass on Lake Marion anymore because they're just about gone. There's still areas where there are white bass in your area?
Yeah. Saluda River off of Lake Greenwood will have them. They'll come up the river, and you've got a window there. It's just a couple of weeks, and then it seems like they learn how to disappear. I don't know where they go, what they do, but when they're there, you can really catch them, and it's a lot of fun.
And what time of year do white bass run in the river then?
Normally late March, early April, you know, through the month of April, somewhere around there, depending on water, temperature, and weather.
Okay.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
May I ask Daniel?
Yes, sir.
Are there any places in South Carolina, this is probably an ignorant question, so Major Downer, don't laugh at me. Are there any places in South Carolina where it's good for fly fishing?
Oh, absolutely.
That's actually not a dumb question. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's a good, great question. A lot of your private ponds, fly fishing for like your brim and things like that are great. But in the upstate, you have a lot of your trout streams mm-hmm. that are stocked. You get up in the upper end of Spartanburg, Greenville, Pickens, Oconee area. There's a lot of streams there that are they're stock trout that are
so they're what about 12 inches, maybe 10, 12 inches at the most.
12, and then some people catch them upwards, you know, 15 plus inches. I mean, you'll have some really good fish at times get caught.
But Phil, I will also tell you the upper the Saluda River up toward the dam.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks fly fish there for smallmouth bass. That's a really popular fish that people use fly rods for, smallmouth bass.
Have you guys have the two of you mastered the art of fly fishing?
I have been to Alaska one time,
mm-hmm.
And I have or actually twice, but I fly fished once there. Incredible experience fishing for rainbow trout. A lot of fun. Didn't take long to master that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of the casting method. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And we did it, you know, wading, not out of a boat.
Yeah.
A little bit in a boat. But we also waded some on points. But it's not as hard as it may look. And it is a lot of fun. So I can see the attraction toward that style and technique instead of just casting.
How about you, Daniel?
I bought a fly rod once, used it in like private ponds with a little popping bug is what we called them. You know, catching bass and brim, but yeah, I've never been much of a expert fly fisherman mm-hmm. by any means. I'm more of a bait caster and spinning rod type guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and on the coast, Phil, a lot of folks have gotten into fly fishing for reds. That's very popular on the coast. Mm-hmm. People fly fishing in the flats for reds because you can float that fly in really shallow water in areas and flip it into areas to get to your redfish. But Daniel, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, anytime.
Great stuff.
And all the information.
Hey, sounds like a good group. We should all get together and go fishing sometime.
We can do that. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know when.
Well, Phil, all right. Well, thanks again. Phil, I know we're getting close to the end
yes, sir.
For the show tonight, but we'll get back together mid-month and kind of get a game plan together, looking at the midsummer boating safety tips. And, again, if you're going out there fishing, make sure to take a life jacket with you. Make sure you let some folks know where you're going and when you plan to return so that if you don't, people know when to start looking. Again, always tell them the landing you're putting in at, a great plan to let people know where you're putting in at so we know to look to make sure you've gotten back. But again, I hope folks have a good week, next 2 weeks. Help you have some fun fishing in South Carolina.
Great stuff, Major. We thank you so much. Talk to you in a couple of weeks. Major Billy Downer, Department of Natural Resources, SC Wild, here on Sports Talk. And thank you, Daniel Baker, for being with us as well. That was awesome. I wouldn't mind going fly fishing. Probably couldn't catch anything. But it'd be, I could see me pulling in about a big old trout. About two feet long or whatever. I don't know. How do you measure them? That'll do it. We'll pick it up tomorrow night. We'll see you then.